Welcome to the program, NFL Insider for CBS Sports, and unfortunately, a Orioles fan, Jason Lacanfora. Hi, Jay. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
You're tweeting your face off yesterday. I loved every second of it.
Yeah. You know, it's that time of year, I guess.
It's your business. That's what they say. It's your business.
There you go.
Let's start real quick. Goff, Wentz. I mean, it's maybe the most anticlimactic 1-2 ever, no?
They tried to milk it, though, right? Everybody taking their allotted time on the clock, but... those moves were made, obviously, with specific targets in mind. And you know, as I said and wrote for weeks, the Eagles didn't trade up just to think, we'll get a quarterback. Like, you don't give all that up without knowing that you're getting the guy Wentz, who is the guy your owner is most comfortable with. You know, So the Rams and Eagles were in cahoots. They both knew exactly what they were doing from the moment they did it. And they kept up the charade, you know, for to appease Big Brother, and that's fine.
Let me ask you something about Carson Wentz. I find him interesting. He's a little old to be drafted, is he not? Like, I mean, are people not concerned about there being a bit of a ceiling with him? You look at a guy like Marcus Mariota. He's 22. He's got a year under his belt. He showed a lot of flash and promise and was productive. You know, and then you look at a guy like Jameis Winston. He was terrific in his rookie season. He's, what is he, 21, 22, same thing. Marcus Mariota, are people not concerned? Because I saw his age yesterday. I thought, geez, he's 24 and he's still going to be a project in Philadelphia?
I don't think you're worried about it. I mean, look, if you got guys who are 36, 37 and are still the best in the league. So, I mean, you talk about you if you're going to sign anybody up for 12 years of decent quarterbacking, they'll take it. Especially, Rams haven't had a quarterback for I don't even know. Mark Bulger. I mean, if you want to count him, a couple of decent years
with Warner.
him and March together post Warner. So they haven't had a quarterback for 15 years. So you're going to say, oh, well, Wentz might not start playing until he's 25, and he might be done when he's 37, but he'll be pretty decent. Like they're no one. No, you know what I mean? Like these dudes are getting fired every 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. Maybe you start talking about a guy coming in the league. 24, 25, 26, he's a linebacker or a running back, you might be thinking one contract. I think that would cause a guy to slip. But with how conditioned these guys are, with how much the league protects quarterbacks, the way the rules are written, everything else. What was it? Brandon Whedon went in the first round a few years ago. Wasn't he like 26 or 27? He'd played minor league baseball for like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, that was Chris Wanky, too. He was like 28, I think.
I mean, at certain positions, maybe. At quarterback, people are so desperate.
Yeah. Jason, we all know the number 1 and 2 picks was pretty much a done deal. Kind of a surprise to me that Bosa goes third to San Diego and then Ezekiel Elliott to Dallas.
Yeah.
Didn't the Chargers really need to address their offensive line?
They did, and they do. And obviously they're going to do that at the top of the second round. There's some other, there's an offensive tackle, Spriggs out of Indiana. I mean, we saw what Seattle did. They probably took the Chargers guy there. At 31 when they took the kid from Texas A&M at the end of the first round. But they're just guys. There isn't that quality. There isn't blue chip. And I think they may regret this. We'll have to see what kind of career Bosa has. When you talk to most GMs, they were locked in on San Diego's got to take a tackle for obvious reasons. You know, King Dunlap is just a guy. Joe Barksdale is just a guy. They're trying to coax 3 to 5 more years out of an aging and immobile Rivers, and they haven't had any stability on the offensive line. Now, Tunsil, obviously, you can understand why people start passing on him. You know, he kind of took himself out of the equation, and then it was a matter of, I thought they would take Stanley. I had a personal guy with another team who's kind of wired in with the Chargers telling me all day, dude, change your mock to Bosa. It's Bosa, it's Bosa. And, like, I didn't believe him. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't know. Like, that. I think they'll go safe, a little bit safer. Stanley doesn't have some of the off-field concerns Bosa has, But look, I mean, this is a draft with very few difference-making pass rushers. All these pass rushers had some deficiency, some wart. On field, this kid didn't have too many. You can rush him inside on third down. You know, he's a big body who gets to the quarterback off the edge on first and second down, and they need that too. I mean, look, the defense stinks. I mean, the Chargers are the reason they're picking that high. So I didn't have as much of a problem with that as I did with Elliott. The Elliott one, I think they should have just followed their conscience and gone with Ramsey and not tried to make the splash. They've got so much money tied up in that offensive line. They've got so many picks tied up in that offensive line, and they're going to have to keep paying to keep those kids. You just saw it, right? You had the grand experiment 2 years ago where when you thought DeMarco Murray started getting a little bit washed up and he wanted real money, you let him go, and then, you know, you had a collection of guys, including McFadden last year, and you had McFadden go for 1,200 yards behind that line.
Yeah.
In a year where you didn't have Tony Romo at quarterback, so in a year when they were squatting on your run game, you still ran the ball okay with a retread running back because of that line, and now you're going to reverse the paradigm, and you've got this horrible defense, and you couldn't bring Bosa in because you didn't trust him in your D-line room, and he wasn't there anyway. You weren't going to take a tackle because we just talked about your offensive line. I just think Ramsey was sitting there on a platter for them. I know they took Byron Jones in the first round last year, and he's a safety too. And maybe this kid is a safety and not a corner. But I don't know. I mean, even if Elliott's special, you had an 1,800-yard back 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't want to pay him.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems counterproductive to what they're trying to do and counterproductive to the way the league's going, and also counterproductive to the fact you got a quarterback that's held together by pins and needles. But you touched on one of the things that I thought was really interesting, and it dominated the draft yesterday. You touched on it a little bit on Twitter. The Laremy Tunsil tweet of him smoking pot with a gas mask and a bong, by the way, inventive, if nothing else. What did you think when you first saw it? Because I saw it like after the second draft pick. I saw this thing. It comes across one of my notifications from Barstool Sports, and it's a video, and I watch the video, and he's clearly smoking some type of substance. No one knows what it is, in a bong attached to a gas mask. And all of a sudden, he drops like a rock in a draft where if you're not, you know, quarterback eccentrically focused, you're going to probably take this guy number one overall.
Well, there's just once you know it's a tough one because this league, the standard in this league is video. Like you want to get yourself buried, get caught on video. You know, Greg Hardy, all the stuff he did is I think probably more heinous than anything we're aware of an NFL player doing in quite some time. He still got a contract last year, you know, because it wasn't on video, and it was if you read any of the police report. You would think that's got to be a pretty despicable human being, but it wasn't caught on video. You know, Ray Rice can't get a workout. I mean, not because he's 28 and he's a running back, because it's on video.
Yeah.
And so you've got these owners, right? And you're going to have these press conferences all weekend, and all anybody's going to ask about is that. And every time they Google your kid's name, it's that. And when you go to the country club to hit golf balls with Miffy and Buffy and everybody else, they're going to say, you know, why, that's the kid you picked, you know, right off the bat in the third or fourth round, and what the hell's that all about? Now, I will say this about where he ended up, Miami. Their vice, whatever, VP of football operations, team president, whatever they call Mike Tannenbaum these days, is exceedingly close with Tunsil's agent, Jimmy Sexton. They do a lot of deals together. They're very cozy. Everybody knew Tannenbaum. Whatever coach he hired was going to be a Jimmy Sexton client. He was. He brings in a lot of Jimmy Sexton players. Jimmy Sexton represents Ndamukong Suh. Many people in the NFL believe that Suh to Miami deal was done, not in March, but even in January, before even the combine, that they sort of had a little arrangement going on, or that everyone kind of knew that's how the stars were aligning. So the fact that it was the Dolphins who broke his fall, even though they actually, that's one position where they didn't really need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have Brandon Albert, who does get hurt sometimes, but they're paying him a lot of money. And they did make a good draft pick in Juwan James on the other side, who I guess now kicks inside. But that kid in South Beach right off the bat, in a locker room that's cancerous. You know, if he goes to Pittsburgh, if he goes to Baltimore, if he goes to Green Bay or New England and they break, or Seattle and they break his slide, then you're like, you know what? Okay, we get it. They just saw too much value there to pass, and they've got a locker room that rehabs people or whatever. Miami. I mean, you had the Jonathan Martin thing. You know, you had the coach. You had the players having a mutiny and refusing to play so that coaches get fired last year. You know what I mean? You got coordinators getting fired in December and head coaches fired in September. You got finger pointing everywhere. They're all pissed off now because their highest paid player, Suh, doesn't bother to show up for, you know, off-season work. There are no leaders on offense. You know, the quarterback doesn't have a voice. The leader is Pouncey, right? The center, who was at the heart of all the Jonathan Martin stuff and who's got his own issues. Like, okay, he's going to thrive there? You're like, you've got the infrastructure there to do it?
Mm.
Okay. I mean, the owner doesn't even live in the city where the team plays. You know, he lives in New York. Hey, maybe it'll work, guys, but smelled like a favor to me.